here on TanTalkNetwork.com, and I'm getting a bunch of stuff started here in the control room, Angel. So can you say something, please? I've got you on.
Right.
So can you talk a minute so I can get this started?
Sure. Well, it's a great day to be here in the studio, and I'm really looking forward to an amazing show today and to see what God has for us. It's been a great church service, and today has really been an amazing day. So very excited for today's show and all that.
We were back. We were out in the reception area greeting our wonderful friends from Truth Talk. The just amazing apostles, Rebecca and George and Deborah, and our friends over here. There were so many. So we hugs. Well, okay. So like virtual hugs or whatever, whatever that was.
You know, I have to say that has been one of the most challenging things to get used to because I'm such a hugger and
you are a hugger.
Hug people and I.
Yes.
Yes, I miss hugging.
I know. And I miss, because last year we had an amazing service with their whole congregation and a joint effort. And we've had two of them scheduled this year with them. We had to cancel both because of COVID. And so I'm just looking forward to this coming to a point maybe in this new year where we're going to be able to gather people in again like we used to, right?
Yes.
We have been slim pickings at Beacon of Hope, if you know what I mean, in that a lot of people are catching our Facebook post, which we do every Sunday morning, right around, is it around 10 to 11 or something like that, approximately?
Close to that.
Okay, so you can go to my Facebook page, Marcia McAllister, and find it, and then please share it. And we also do a Zoom call every Sunday morning for the whole service. The Facebook post is basically the first 20-some minutes of the sermon. The Zoom is for the whole service, including all the wonderful music. You can be a part of that by sending an email to prayers. That's our prayer line. prayers@bohmglobal.com and say, add me to the Zoom list for Sundays. And then when we send that out, usually on Saturday, you will get the link, and all you do is click on it, and you're into the service. Why would they want to do that? And I know, Angel, you had to make a trip recently, and you Zoomed in your car, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Oh, it's so nice to have Zoom because, you know, even if you have to travel or if you're not feeling well and you can't make it to church, you can still be a part of the service. And that, to me, has been a really awesome thing, a great thing that's come out of a terrible tragedy as COVID has been.
It really is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so we're excited about that ability. It took us a little while to work out some kinks, didn't it?
Sure. We all had a huge learning curve. None of us had used that technology in the way we were trying to use that technology. It took us a few minutes.
Well, because we were trying to make sure that all the Zoom people could actually see all the words to the songs, not from our screen, but as a, what do you call that?
As a direct presentation.
Direct, so, right. So yes. Right on your phone or your computer. There's Betty Thomas, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Betty, how are you, girl?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you ladies doing this afternoon?
We're good. I was just talking about our capabilities with Zoom and with Facebook. And this past week, we had a new high, I think, on our Facebook visuals or, you know, what do you call that? People engaging on our Facebook post. And so just wanting to make it easier for people to be a part of the service by going to Zoom, and they can do that by sending a request to you, Betty, at prayers. You don't have to put Betty there. Just go prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, add me to the Zoom list, and she will make sure that you get that link for the Sunday services. And also, Betty, what else happens on the prayer line? Can you talk to us about that?
Well, yes, would you believe we pray for people?
On the prayer line? Seriously?
Yes.
Yes, I do know that.
We're making this, you know, we're global, and we, you know, we take those prayer requests, and we go boldly before the throne, and we take those requests to God, and listeners, God is answering prayer.
Oh, my.
And we, you know, we love sending out praise reports too. So if you have a praise report or a testimony, send that to prayers@bohmglobal.com because, you know, that it uplifts the body of Christ. It uplifts us when we know, when we think, you know, God, you know, I can't see God, but man, he really is. He is on the job.
He is, right.
He's a miracle working God.
Amen. Wow, he certainly is. And so we are very excited about next Sunday's service because the Lord told me sometime in the night last night, I can't even tell you about when, because I was in and out of prayer and sleep and whatever, and I'm always up very early, like about 5 on Sunday morning. But I know this happened in the middle of the night at some point, and I heard the Lord say next Sunday is a healing service. So if you know anyone who is ill in body or mind or struggling with addictions or having mental issues, emotional problems, you want to be a part of our service at Beacon of Hope next Sunday. God has already assured us the healing anointing will flow. You do not have to be present to be a part of the service. So one more time, send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, put me on your Zoom list, and you can be a part of the entire service with great, great music next Sunday. Angel, why would they want to do that?
Oh, well, first of all, our service, they're amazing. And being a part of that, you know, God ministers through the Zoom. Even when you're watching it through the computer screen, you can feel his presence. And you know what? Just the it flows. He flows through us.
And you and Betty both have been a part of the Zoom, and you know that you can feel the presence of God there, right? Betty, you want to comment on that before we go to this first song?
Oh, yes. You know, and one of the wonderful things about, you know, virtual watching it virtually, you know, over the internet is that God has no, there is no borders between God and us. He
right.
is everywhere. He is there, and the service today, I was just—I mean, the Holy Spirit just flowed so dramatically and so freely today. And you know, your message was amazing. You know, then I went to Facebook. So the media is getting out there.
It is.
We the people have to react and say, "Okay, add me."
Right.
And how blessed you would be just to be able to be part of a healing service.
It Amen.
Is. Fantastic.
It will be powerful next Sunday.
Powerful.
I'm actually going into what I call my beach hibernation for the next couple days, where I'm just spending time alone with God. I get to do that once or twice a year, and it will be tomorrow. And for a couple days, and when I mean what I'm sitting on a beach, but it's a deserted beach where I go for the most part, and it is a time with me and God, and I am just expecting God to fill me anew with everything he has for this ministry, for this radio show that we're now in our 14th year, for the service next Sunday. The healing anointing will flow. He has assured me of that. You don't want to miss it. We're going to start off with a very old song, but it just grabbed me yesterday when I was thinking about how to start this show today. Casting Crowns, The Voice of Truth.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Praise God. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. Of all the voices calling out to me, are there any voices calling out to us, Betty? Talk to us about those voices that call out to us. Who are they? What are they?
Well, that's where the power of discernment comes in, where we realize,
yeah.
Is it good or bad? And one of the things that I learned from a very, very prominent pastor in Newcastle, Indiana, is that God,
there you go again, calling me prominent, and I'm not. But go ahead. That's all right.
I'm trying to be nice.
I know you were trying to be nice, but go ahead.
That God leads and Satan rushes. And one of the things that we want to hear is the voice of truth, the word of God. We want to hear that still small voice that encourages us and gives us the ability to go on. And the voice that you hear that is probably, you know, there's that little guy that sits on one shoulder and then the Lord sits on the other, is that the other voice brings deception. Because he's a liar, and all he's doing is to come to seek, kill, and destroy. So, you know, that song, even though, you know, it is, you know, probably one of the earlier ones that Casting Crowns did.
Right, it is, yeah.
The voice of truth is the one that sets apart from any other word that you can hear is the word of God, is the truth. It's infallible.
Amen.
And there's so many ways, you know, Pastor,
yes,
and Angel, that you can get that word. You can get that voice of truth in you, you know, through just picking up a Bible. You can get it through a Bible app, you know, through the Facebook post that you have. It's the truth. It's in the truth, according to biblical scripture, the truth will set you free. And that's
Amen.
Exactly what God's word does. It sets us free.
Amen. We've got a great show on board today with you and Dr. Angel in there. We're going to talk about how truth is what carries us through the storms in life. What we know about God's character will be woven into this show. We're going to give you a lot of scriptures to put in your arsenal, which we hope you are collecting. And one of the first ones we want to go to, although I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to quote it, but it's Luke 6:38. And it is an amazing verse, and it starts us off in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. So if you follow along with your Bible, you want to go to 2 Kings 4, 8. And the first verse we're going to talk about that is a helper to all that concept is Luke 6:38, and the Luke 6:38 says this: give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, running over, shall men or people give into your bosom. With the measure you may give or measure out, that's the measure it's going to come back to you. That's Luke 6:38. That's not exactly word for word, but that's pretty close. So we're going to 2 Kings 4, and don't forget that scripture about giving. And we're going to see that Elisha, the prophet, had been going from town to town and just going where God led him to. He taught in the school of the prophets. He was the resident prophet. He was training people under him. He frequently passed through a little town called Shunem, and that's in 2 Kings 4:8. And there in that little town was, according, and I'm in the Amplified Bible, by the way, I'm teaching out of that all the time now. So if you want to follow along, Amplified Bible. There was a prominent and influential woman there, and she persuaded him to eat a meal. Afterward, when he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. Verse 9, she said to her husband one day, "Behold, I sense that this is a holy man of God who frequently passes our way." Now, I find this fascinating. God always has the right people in our lives at the right time. And you can quote me on that because I've lived a little longer than a lot of you. And I can tell you that God brings people in our lives for reasons. We've talked on this show before. Some people are in our lives for a reason. Some are there for a season. Some are there for a lifetime, right? And that's true whether you know God or not. People change. In fact, I read a statistic the other day that a lot of times people change friends every 3 years. I never heard that, Angel.
Wow.
I read that somewhere and I thought, seriously? About every 3 years, people kind of change over. Now, I've known a lot of people like Betty. I've known you for what? Since 1989. So that's a real long time ago. But, you know, that's, with that said, here's Elisha going through this little town, and this lady notices there's something different about that guy. This is not just an ordinary guy. We don't know. We don't think he dressed like Elijah. Elijah was more of the, you know, put on, kill a bear, and then just wear the bear's hide. Over, that's your clothes. But Elisha probably did not dress like that. He was a little different, but it was something in his spirit, he noticed, Angel. Talk to us about this, that she senses. I couldn't bring this out this morning. There was so much I wanted to bring out in that Facebook post, and there's so much detail here. But that's one thing I wanted to bring out here on the radio. She senses the spirit of God in this man. Go ahead.
Well, no, and that's when we are truly tapped into the spirit of God, people around us will see that spirit, and it comes out through the fruit of the spirit, which is the very character of God, that we will have love when it seems like we shouldn't, or
yeah,
we will have joy or peace in the midst of all kinds of stuff, and people notice that's different.
Why?
Because it's not common.
Because it's not common.
It's not common at all. And so, yeah, to be going through a lot of difficulty and to look and see that you have peace or you have joy, people start to wonder, what does she have in her that's so different, or he have in him that's so different?
Right. Well, I think she had a very giving heart because she gave him a meal, and you know it was probably not just run down to McDonald's and grab something for Elisha. It was probably a big old meal. I mean, you know, with everything, all the trimmings. And he'd come to town, and she'd say, "Oh, Elisha's in town." And boy, she'd say, come on over. So she had a giving heart. So she says to her husband in verse 9 of 2 Kings 4, if you're just now joining us on Living the Good Life, "Behold, I sense this is a holy man of God who frequently passes our way. Please let us make a small, fully walled upper room on the housetop," which was a common place to have it. Our radio station, the Beacon of Hope, has in Pueblo, Mexico, it is on the top of a four-story building where the missionaries live in one apartment. But this radio station, you have to go up these steps and up these steps to the rooftop, and there's a little room up there, and that's where our radio station is, on top of this building. So she says to her husband, let's make a fully walled upper room for on the housetop, put a bed in there for him with a table, a chair, and a lampstand. And then whenever he comes to visit us, he can turn in there. Betty, talk to us about this generosity, this generous spirit right here, this giving spirit right here.
That's just one of the gifts that I believe that a lot of people have, is the spirit of empathy, the spirit of compassion. Our Lord Jesus had that same spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you have that spirit about you, people can sense it.
They can
sense it by what you say. Sometimes just by the words that you speak, because your words are so gentle, they're so compassionate.
Right.
And, you know, and especially today, it's much needed because of the turmoil that our country is in right now, is that we need to come together with that same passion.
Right.
And say, you know, Lord, you know, it's just like the other day we had a gentleman come into our house. And, you know, and he was a repairman. And my daughter offered him something to eat.
That's cool.
And the next, you know, and my husband, Joe, you know, offered to give him a seat because he has an illness that causes some dysfunction in his feet with circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I, before he left, you know, we had on a boot, and I said, can we pray for you? And
praise God.
Joe said, well, yeah, we can put him on the prayer chain. I said, oh, no, we're going to pray for him. So we laid hands on him and prayed for
praise
him.
Praise God. All right.
So those are the things
that
this woman had for Elijah.
Yes.
Is that she knew. And I believe that, you know, even back then, that the Holy Spirit had given her kind of knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
There's going to be a man that passes through your area that you're going to want to hook up. And I'm sure Jesus, the Holy Spirit has better grammar.
You don't think
than
he
I
used
do.
The word hook up? No, probably not.
No,
he probably said you're going to want to provide a meal. I think that's
provide
a better
meal. Exactly. And I told you it's cold up here, so I apologize.
No, you're okay.
But it all boils down to is listening to that voice, listening to that
amen,
that inner voice that talks to you. And because she knew he was a man of God.
Oh, amen.
And when we get deeper into the scripture, you'll see why she knew.
Yes.
She was just a very compassionate woman.
Oh, she was a giving heart. And I said this morning in the sermon, there are significance to the furniture that they put in the upper room, but I didn't have time to go into that on Facebook. Here it is. So if you take notes, you're going to want it. There are four things needed for the prophetic ministry. Okay, so she and her husband provided for the prophet, Elisha, and they did not provide a hot tub. They did not provide a sofa. They provided four things that we need, those of us who are in ministry, prophetic ministry in particular. The bed speaks of the rest of the Lord, God's rest. As you are in ministry, and I know I'm taking this a deeper level right now, and the whole show will not be this deep, but for those who can hear this, hear the voice of the Lord here. The bed speaks of our rest in the Lord, that when we are in ministry, we must rest in what he's leading us to do or where he's leading us to go, etc. The table or the desk speaks of fellowship. We must have fellowship. We must have fellowship with our Father. That means we must spend time with him and talk to him. It's very, very important. There was a chair that they provided for Elisha. The chair speaks of the throne of God's authority. You say, what do you mean when you say speaks of? These are physical things that also point to a deeper truth. And the deeper truth here is this furniture was not a beanbag, a sofa, you know, a pool table. You say, well, they didn't have those things back then. Yeah, but I mean, these are specific things for a specific reason. The chair speaks of the throne of authority. The lamp speaks of the illumination and revelation of God's word. All of you that want to write those things down, I'm going to go through them one more time. These four things that the woman and her husband provided for the prophet. The bed speaks of resting, learning to rest in the Lord. The table, the desk, that talks about fellowship. Fellowship with God and with others. The chair talks about the throne of God's anointing or his authority. It's really about authority. And the lamp speaks of the word coming alive to you. You need the light. Didn't the psalmist say, David in Psalm 119, 109 or 100, 119, verse 9, I think, or 11, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay. And so the word of God is illuminating the character of God. So those are those four things. Let's move on before we do this next song. And so they did that. They did all that. And so verse 11 in 2 Kings 4, one day he came there, he turned into the upper room, he laid down to rest. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the woman. So he called her, and she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Would you like me to mention you to the king or the captain of the army? She answered, well, no, I don't need that. She goes, I live among my own people in peace and security. I need no special favors. Okay? Now, we're going to stop there and play a song. And here's the reason. What Elisha had in his heart was that he wanted to give because she had given to him. If we get time later, we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. You know, I say later because we never know what God's going to do here. But in Galatians 6, it says that you will reap what you sow. Okay? Sowing. You sow corn seed in the field in Indiana. You're going to get cucumbers. No, you're not. If you sow corn seed in Indiana, you're going to get beautiful stalks of corn. Right? With ears of corn growing on them. What we sow, we reap. That's a biblical principle. I have some people say to me, that's karma. Well, okay, you can call it that if you want. They say, well, what goes around comes around. But it's the basic biblical principle. What you sow is what you reap. Angel, talk about that before we go to the song.
Absolutely, it's a basic biblical principle. And in the counseling room, it's a basic principle of boundaries. Because so often it's one of the cores of developing healthy boundaries. So
right.
Oftentimes, you know, we are sowing in, you know, things like negative attitudes.
Sure.
Or, you know, and then we're thinking we're going to reap positive things. Like, so that God tells us what we sow is what we reap. So we need to be careful of what we're planting in our lives.
Right.
And that's what we're taking in, what we're putting out.
Like, yes.
All of that.
Isn't that profound? Because we see here that the woman felt in her spirit, because this series is walking in God's presence. She felt as she walked in God's presence on a daily basis, we're supposed to help that man. We're supposed to feed him. We're supposed to provide a place for him to stay, because they didn't have motels and Holiday Inn Express or anything like that back then, right? And then Elisha, in turn, feels a nudge in his heart. We're supposed to do something for this lady. Right? All of this is rooted in the fruit of the Spirit, which you and Pastor Jim have been teaching so beautifully on Wednesday night. The fruit of the Spirit is God's nature. It's Galatians 5:22, and you can put it in your notes and look it up later. But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Did I get them all? I don't know. I may have left one out. But there's nine of them right there in Galatians 5:22. That's the nature of God. And that's who we are wanting to become, God's nature. So to walk in his presence, we realize we need to become like him because of his reckless love. Corey Asbury. This is for Angel.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. And you have been so, so good to me. When I found no words, you paid it all for me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
What a song, Betty. That's God's nature, the overwhelming, amazing love that God has for each of us. Woo!
Oh, you know, his love expands beyond what we can ever think or imagine, Pastor. You know, if he can put the love of God, when it hits us, we become changed.
Amen. Inside.
And it's amazing how God can take, a human being that is down and feels like that no one cares for them, and that they've always been abandoned, you know, by humanity. But then when they realize who their Creator is. And who God is, and they give that just that infilling of saying, "Okay, Lord, I accept you into my life."
Yeah,
you know, He gives us little tidbits and little infillings each time. He fills us with love. He fills us with compassion, just like He did this woman for Elisha. Is that He gives us the ability to show just what kind of love that He gives. He gives it unconditionally. He gives it without accepting without any reservations. Right. He doesn't have anything attached to it, only that he inhabits the praises of his people, that he wants to communicate and commune with us, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week.
So
and
very true.
It's so wonderful to know that someone loves us more than we love ourselves.
Oh.
And it's just, there, you know, the words that you use, you know, in that Reckless Love song, that's just the beginning of what God's love is. You know, it is overwhelming. And sometimes there are no vocabulary words in the English language to describe the reckless love of God.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the main reasons we are created on this earth is to show others God's love and his nature. So learning the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, these are not just things we have on a piece of paper so we can memorize their nine things, the fruit of the Spirit. This is who God is. This is needs to be translated in our daily activities. It was through this woman in Shunem. And Shunem. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. And she saw the goodness and the presence of God in the prophet and reached out to help him. Angel, talk about how God's reckless love needs to come like it did through this woman to the prophet. Planting, sowing seed. She sowed seed.
She sure did. And you know what? And she didn't wait for him to come make a request like, hey, do you know anyone who can help me out here when I'm in town? Like, she stepped out.
Yes.
And went to him.
Right.
And she pursued that opportunity.
Yes.
And, you know, I think a lot of times we step back and we're waiting for, we feel like we should do something. We have the means to do it, but we don't.
Right.
You know, and that's where we have to really be connected with God, because he's, you know, if she never stepped out, like, we wouldn't have this story, would we?
We would not have
all this blessing.
She initiated this story, really, by her step of faith, right? That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
And I believe that. So Elisha says to Gehazi, what are we going to do for her? She doesn't need anything from us, really. Gehazi says, well, you know, I've been down in the, he didn't, this part I'm making up right here. I've been hanging out in the kitchen with her while she makes your amazing meals, and I kind of been helping her, and she hasn't had any kids. She's always wanted a son, and she's never been able to have a child, and her husband's old. And Elisha said, okay, call her up here. So that resonated in Elisha right then. He knew that is being said to him for a reason. Betty, this is what happens as we walk in the Spirit. Somebody can say something that they don't have any idea how it's going to affect us. They just saying it. And suddenly it hits our spiritual bells on the inside. You know, our spiritual cowbell or whatever's in there. I'm thinking about baseball.
I hear that.
Okay. So, but it hits inside and we know, oh, that's God. Betty, talk to us about that, and then we'll go back to Angel.
Well, you know, she gave material things, but those material things had significance in Scripture.
Yeah.
So he wanted to return that something to the barrenness of her and give her something to bless her as she has blessed him.
Right.
And it becomes, especially today, is that, and that old saying, it's better to give than to receive. And she gave without even, you know, that little flutter that you have in your heart to be able to do something for someone because you know in your knower that this person is special, not expecting anything in return, but just to be able to bless someone.
Mm.
And that joy that you get from blessing someone and being able to supply Elisha with a place to rest, you know, a place to be able to have fellowship.
Right.
And it's amazing. I mean, just this little bit of Scripture says so much.
So much, doesn't it?
Action, being a disciple, being...
Yes.
Who God wants us to be and showing his love through just the minutest little thing is can bless someone just like that lady. And, mm-hmm. and again, it's 180. She did something for him, and now he's going to do mm-hmm. something for her.
Yes.
That melts her. It's going to melt her heart.
And suddenly God, the Spirit of God, drops in Elisha's heart. And in the New Testament, when we study the gifts of the Spirit, we will be calling this a word of knowledge. Because it is not called that back then, but Elisha knew in his heart right then, verse 16 of 2 Kings 4, at this season next year, he said to her, you will embrace a son. He even knew it was going to be a boy. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. That is her fear, that don't tell me this and then it doesn't happen. How many times do we know people, Angel, that don't want to come up for prayer, don't want to call in the prayer line, don't want to do this because they're afraid that God won't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, they don't want to be disappointed. They have like the pain of heartbreak. I mean, I can only imagine what she's had to feel through the years, because having a child in Jewish culture is a really important thing to pass
especially
on.
Especially a son.
Especially a son, to pass on the name
yeah.
and their inheritance and stuff. And so not having one's kind of a shame on them as well. And so I can only envision how often she cried or hurt from not having that child, that her heart probably felt like it couldn't take any more disappointment.
Couldn't take any more, right. So she says, no, 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 don't tell me that. But the next verse, 17, starts with the word but. But the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at that season the next year, just as Elisha had said to her. Now, we're going to talk more about this four-letter word fear in a little while. But I want to play a song that I wasn't planning on playing, and I just saw it on the CD, and I thought, oh, that fits right here. It's called The Breakup Song by Francesca I don't know how you pronounce her last name.
Battistelli.
There you go. The Breakup Song, and it's about breaking up with fear. And guys, she had to break up with fear right there and believe that even though she'd expressed, oh, no, don't tell me that in case it doesn't happen, she obviously went back to her position of faith because she got pregnant by a husband that was quite a bit older. The Breakup Song.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Had as much of you as I can take. I'm so done, so over being afraid. I've gone through the motions, I've been back and forth. I know that you're thinking you've heard this before. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just gonna say it, yeah. Fear you don't know. You probably never saw it coming. Something's gotta give, so I give up you. Oh, there's no room for you here. Yeah, I've had enough. The no vacancy sign on my heart is lit up. In case you didn't hear it, here it is again. Oh. Like me, anybody needing fear to leave. Ooh, yeah. If you don't know how to say it, sing along with me. Sing fear, you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story.
Goodbye, fear.
Ooh, you will never be welcome here.
Fear, you don't own me. Is that a great song or what?
That is a great song.
And I believe right then and there when she said, you know what, don't tell me that, I'm afraid it's not going to happen, I think God spoke to her heart and her faith increased because she conceived. Okay? Fear, you don't own me. I know who I am. I am strong and I am free. I was trying to write words down. Fear, you will never be welcome here. Betty, we have to get that kind of militant attitude towards fear and all of the awful, awful tricks of the devil, like anxiety, fear, discouragement, depression, all that stuff. Unbelief, doubt. Talk to us, Betty.
You know, fear is a major weapon, try to keep it simple, major weapon that the devil uses to try to control us and to control us into all those things that you mentioned. And what we have to do is that we have to be, like you said, militant. We have got to understand that all the devil wants to do is to destroy you, and he will do that. And we've seen, I mean, Pastor and Dr. Angel and I have seen this in many forms of how he can manipulate and turn things around to make you feel like that you are under his control.
Yeah.
But once you realize who he is, what he's doing, and that we have some fine-tuning that we need to do when we read the Word and pray, is that God will give you the tools that you need through His Word to be able to defeat that fear.
Amen.
And we had talked about this many months ago about fear.
Yeah.
An abbreviation or an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
That's the way that the devil works, is that he wants you to think that you are nobody, that, and that's what brings in, you know, the depression and all of those words that Pastor used prior to our conversation, is don't fall for it. You have got to be on guard, and that God gives us a spirit to be able to take it by force. And I don't remember where that scripture is, but we have to take on the warrior spirit and say,
oh, yeah,
no. Right. I will not accept it.
Mm-hmm.
You're defeated. I read the last book of the Bible, and you know where he ends up.
Right.
So we have to remember that God is our sole source of strength.
Amen.
Just like this lady did. She knew God, and she knew him.
Oh, she did.
Oh,
she did know him.
No, she knew him, and she knew Elisha was a man of God, and that's where we have to realize that the devil has no control over us when we have the Spirit of God inside of
Amen.
Us.
Amen. And often we are tested. Dr. Angel?
Oh, wow. Yes, often. Times it comes in. And, you know, that's where knowing the truth, knowing the Word of God, and mm-hmm. having it living and active
yes.
inside of us,
yes.
like, that's our weapon. Because it can feel so crushing and so discouraging and so defeating to walk into a test or another obstacle or another problem, that it can beat us down.
Absolutely, it can. And when we are under attack or when we are going through a very difficult time, we must keep our feet grounded on the Word of God. That is where our strength is going to come from. And we see in verse 18 of 2 Kings 4 that she does have a son. And when the child was grown, the day came. Now, we don't know if he was that grown, maybe 10, 12, because he was able to sit on his mother's lap. So I don't think he was like a teenager. I really don't. Doesn't make much sense that he was. The day came, he went out to his father, to the reapers. So he worked in the field with his dad. And he said to his father, "My head, my head," in verse 19. So the father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." So I doubt if he was an adult. I think he was younger. "Carry him to his mother." And when he had carried and brought him to his mother, which is the woman we've been talking about, he sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. Now, death is pretty final for most people when it happens. Not all people, but most people. And we are going to talk about what happened to this young man in just a couple minutes on the other side of the top of the hour when we have to do station ID. So, Betty, I'd like for you one more time to mention why our listeners might need to become a part of our prayer community and the strength that comes in unity in prayer. We don't know if this lady had any faith community around, but we know that she had a whole lot of faith. She knows she had a whole lot of faith. Betty, you want to mention that? And then, Angel, I want you to talk about our Go Yard show. All right, go ahead, Betty.
Well, you know, one of the things that happens is when two or three are gathered in his name, that the Lord is present.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that when we join together in prayer and we cry out to God, God hears our prayers. I mean, I can quote scripture of how God answers our prayers when we cry out to him.
Right.
He holds those prayers. And when you do that, it makes the devil mad when we start praying together as a group, as a unified group of believers, is that it sets something in motion. And we are blessed to be able to pray for people today.
Yes.
Just by sending a prayer request, prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
And I'm not going to say how many prayer warriors we have, but I mean, these are praying men
yes.
and women
yes.
who boldly approach the throne on your behalf. And there's
right.
no request too big, too small. To prayers at bohmglobal.com. And we will do our best also to try to follow up with you to see if additional intercession or praying is needed for
yes.
that particular thing. Because it may happen immediately.
Yep.
It may happen days, weeks, or months ahead. But God has a plan.
Amen.
And that plan, excuse me, I'm so sorry. God has a plan, and he wants to see you succeed. So again, prayer requests, send to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Do you want to be a part of this powerful moving, powerful movement of God, send it. Say, please add me to your prayer group at prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
We would love to.
We would love to do that. We really would. The ministry at Beacon of Hope is much more than this radio show. We are in our 19, we've finished 19 years. We're in our 20th year as a ministry. And last year, a year and a half ago, Dr. Angel collaborated with the ministry, and we put your counseling business in the front of our new building, and we put the rest of it as the ministry, and we welcome you all to come check it out and become a part of Beacon of Hope, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. It's between Drew and Sunset Point, right off of Hercules. So 2058 Weaver Park Drive. The best way to find out everything about this ministry is go to our newly constructed redone, brand new websites, 4 or 5 months old, maybe 6 months old now. Time flies in COVID year. And it is bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com. You will find there that we are heavily involved with the ministry in Mexico, in Puebla, Mexico. And we have a radio station there that's sending out programming to Central and South America. It's an internet radio station run by Enrique Zenteno, our dear brother. And we also have a ministry of feeding little kids in the mornings with a meal that are on the streets of Puebla. Puebla is a huge town, city of over 2.5 million people, 68 miles southeast of Mexico City. So we're doing that, and we're also giving a meal to homeless people who are sleeping on the streets at night. Last month, we gave over 1,000 meals out. This month, we hope to do even better than that. Dr. Angel, would you talk about that briefly, and also our show that you and I do on Thursday night? And we really need Betty to say something about that show, because she listens every week. But why don't you say what you want to say, and we'll get up to station ID. And then we'll let Betty start talk about that as soon as we do our station ID. Go ahead.
Sure. No. First of all, the ministry outreach in Mexico, it's definitely an awesome part to be a part of. And knowing that we are planting seeds into lives of people, we will probably never meet this side of heaven. So I think that's really exciting. And then our radio show on Thursday nights here on this channel at 6:06 p.m., we have a show called Go Yard, which means hitting the home runs in life. It's our life coaching show with me, Dr. Angel, and Pastor with her alter ego, Mama Mac. And we take life's topics and try to give you really great tools to get through difficult times and identify problems that help you find great solutions as well.
That's what we do. It's an hour long, and you can call in. It's a call-in show, or you can join us on Facebook and put questions there. Dr. Angel, tell us what we're doing right now. We're in a series we started a week or so ago.
Yes, we are now doing a series called Use Your Word. So we're really looking at effective communication, healthy communication, ways we can improve our relationships around us.
Exactly. And we do have time, Betty, because Angel got that done in a very short time there. Betty, you watch or listen every Thursday night almost. You and your family, would you comment on why some listeners should tune in at 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night?
Well, I believe that even as Christians, that we still have issues and problems that sure. we face on a daily basis.
Right.
And the last couple of shows has just been amazing for us and our family in dealing with some pretty heavy crisis situations, especially with grandchildren or parents, of how to assist you in dealing with those very difficult situations. And the last 2 weeks, you guys have really hit home a home run.
We hit a home run? Oh, my gosh, Angel.
Go Yard.
Go Yard.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm always out in center field rooting you on, sometimes fans, but it's just really wonderful to have.
Hang on, Betty. Hang on.
Go.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
All right, station ID, 5 stations right here at TAN Talk Network. Go ahead, Betty.